Awesome. Well, we're so glad that you're here celebrating with us. This is our third and final service of the weekend, and it has been an amazing weekend. And really quickly, I just wanted to say to all of my moment makers who've been serving all week long, thank you for all your hard work. If you see someone today and they're serving in some capacity, will you thank them? Because not only are they serving right now, that they've been working up to this, and they'll be serving after this. And it's everything that we do and how we do it and to the excellence that we do it is because of our volunteers that we call Moment Makers. So make sure you thank someone today for all that is going on. We've been in our series, His Name Is. We've been looking at the names of God, studying the names of God. We've talked about Elohim. We've talked about Yahweh. We've talked about Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Jireh and just the significance and the impact that His name carries and how, I mean, it elicits a response within us. And we're going to kind of continue just talking about that and the power of a name. You know, as I was just thinking about all this, I was thinking about what a privilege it is to be able to give something a name, whether it be a child, whether it be a business, whatever it may be. Like, giving something a name is an honor and a privilege and something that God has gifted to us. You know, I was going through and I was thinking about this, and in Genesis chapter 2, do you know the first thing that God gave Adam to do? Does anyone know? Name the animals. It's one of those things you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But honestly, when you really sit and think about it, did God need Adam to name the animals? I'm pretty sure he could have done it himself. And just be like, here's the animals. This is the name of the animals. I don't want you to screw that up. So I'm going to name all the animals for you. But no, he created life. And then he gave it to Adam and he said, here, name this one. What do you think this one's called? And he's like, hippopotamus, right? It's like, where did that even come from, you know? And he's like, oh, I probably should have named that one anyway. And so, but he gave Adam this privilege of naming something he created. And first it was the animals, and then Adam and Eve had children of their own that God created. And again, they're given this privilege of naming their children. And it's such a powerful, powerful thing that God gives us an honor and privilege of naming our children. I just had, just recently got the honor of naming my ninth child. If it's your first time here, I have 9 kids. Just wrap your mind around that, okay? It's a lot. But honor and privilege of naming him. And so for me, in naming my kids, it's been a little bit different than in the typical sense because 7 of my 9 are adopted. And so what that means is that they had a name. For most of them, they had a name before I adopted them. And so it's even more of an honor and a privilege to give them a name and give them a new name. As they enter into a new family, I give them a new identity, I give them a new name, and it's been a really, really cool thing to be able to do that. And so I wanted to share with you the meaning behind all of my kids' names. We're gonna spend about 90 minutes just talking about my kids. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna share about all of them. I do wanna share just a few of my kids' names and just the significance and the meaning, because I believe with our kids' names, with our names, they are meant to carry significance and meaning, and I want my kids' names, I want them to be able to be proud of their name, have their name mean something to them. So our second child, his name is Seth. Our first child is Delaney. She was biological, and my wife had issues getting pregnant, and so we decided that God was calling us to adoption after that, and so we adopted Seth from South Korea when he was about 11 months old. And so I've always loved the name Seth. I love the story, the biblical story behind the name Seth. And if you know, Seth was the third born son of Adam and Eve. And it was a son that God gave to Adam and Eve after they had lost a son. And so where this carries significance for me in my life and for me and my wife is we had our first, and it was beautiful and it was amazing, but we weren't able to have one biologically, but God provided us with a son through adoption. And it's this powerful thing that I get to connect those two things and connect the name of Seth to my son, Seth. Now, most of our kids have a middle name. And so with Seth's middle name, what we decided to do is we wanted to honor his Korean heritage. And when we first heard about him, again, he was 11 months old, he had already had a name. His biological parents gave him a name, and that name was Kansak. Kansak. And so what we decided is we say, you know what? We're going to give him a new first name, but we're going to keep his given Korean name as his middle name, Kansak, so that we can honor the heritage, and we can also honor his birth parents. And it could be something that he can connect to and have and remember all of his life. And so there's significance, there's meaning, there's power there. One of my other sons, we just adopted last year. We had a foster placement for about a year and a half of a sibling group. It was Aiden, I can't even remember their whole names, that's so weird. Okay, Aiden and Layla. And we adopted the two, and we changed their names. And Aiden, we gave him the name Gideon. And I love the story of Gideon in the Bible. And if you don't know this story, Gideon, it's found in Judges, and he is a part of the smallest clan, and it says that he is the smallest in his clan. And if you've seen my little Gideon, he's a tiny little dude, but he is full of life, and he is full of joy, and he's full of smiles, and he's full of laughter. And we gave him this name, Gideon. And while Gideon, in the beginning, he's seen as the smallest in the smallest clan, he becomes a mighty warrior of God. And so we're declaring that over Gideon's life. And we gave him a new middle name, and his middle name was James, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I tell people all the time, hey, what's a good book to go to? I say, go to James. It's such a powerful book. And so it can be a reminder for him. If he's going through something, if he's dealing something later on in life, he can go and read the book of James. Now, to the newest addition to the Warrensing home, my ninth child, our new baby boy. He was born almost 3 weeks ago. And his name is Cohen. And it took quite the process of discernment and prayer to get to this, because at this time, we are all out of names, okay? We're at nine, and we're like, I don't know what to call this kid. Just put some names in a bucket, and we'll just pull one out and see if it works. I preached on Jehovah Jireh, and Jireh, that God will provide, that God is a provider, is so significant and powerful to me. And we almost named him Jireh. That was one of the names that we were like, okay, that would be really cool, but it's just that we didn't land on that. And so we're praying and we're discerning, we're trying to figure this out. And we're just, you know, God is brought this miracle. My wife hadn't been pregnant for 17 years. And so we're like, what do we name him? My wife, one night, as we're trying to determine names, she had a dream. And in that dream, she just heard the name Israel. So she shares it with me the next day. And she's like, I had this dream. And in that dream, I just very clearly heard the name Israel. And I'm like, that's pretty good. You know, I didn't dislike it. It's cool. I mean, that'd be cool. It's a cool name. I just didn't have a peace. I was like, I don't know if Israel is going to be his name. And so we just kept praying and kept looking, and I stumbled across the name Cohen. And it's spelled C-O-H-E-N, Cohen. It's not a name that was on our radar. It's not a name that I had ever heard before. And as I began to dive into the meaning of the name, Cohen means priest of Israel. And I was like, babe, check this out. And she's like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, yeah, that's the one. And so his name became Cohen, and it carries meaning and significance in his life. And we're declaring that and proclaiming that over his life. And then his middle name, his full name is Cohen Edward Warrensing. I lost my dad 2 years ago. And so in honor of my dad, we named him after, gave him the middle name Edward after my dad. And so there's significance. And I believe that with all of my kids, for four of my girls, Delaney, Imani, Trinity, and Adeline, their middle names are Grace, Hope, Joy, and Faith. And just believing that for them and speaking that over their lives. Why do I share that with you? Because our names matter. Our names carry meaning and significance. Our names carry a story about our identity. When someone knows your name, when someone calls you by name, it has an impact on your life. And while our names matter and our kids' names matter, there is one name above all other names, and it is the name of Jesus. And that is why we're here, and that is what we're celebrating today, the name of Jesus. So I wanted to dive into this. That's what we've done every single week. As I've given you a name, we have checked out the names of Jesus. But before I do that, do you guys know who gave Jesus his name? Anybody know? No guesses? The angel. Yes, good job raising your hand. That was my kid. He's respect. Okay, the angel gave Jesus his name. Let's read this. And it wasn't just that, you know, he showed up and told Mary, hey, this is gonna be your name. He also told Joseph, and this is like good looking out, way to not have them butt heads on the name. And Mary's like, no, it's Jesus. And he's like, I didn't get that memo. And so they both get the memo. In Luke 1, the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Okay, so this is really cool. Thank you so much. You know, I realized last service that not only did they give him a name, but they also found out the gender of the baby that they were having, right? There's no ultrasound, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wouldn't know until it came out, but they got to know they're having a boy. And so they got to buy all the cute clothes and get his room all set up. No, he was born in a barn. Okay, so it's really cool. It's awesome that through God, through the angel Gabriel, named this child. But, you know, as parents, especially your firstborn, I'm guessing maybe they wanted to name their kid, you know? But Gabriel said, you know, you don't have to worry about it. I believe it's by design. Just think about this. An angel shows up to both of you. Mary's pregnant miraculously. And then he's like, hey, so here's the deal. That boy is gonna be the savior of the world. Could you imagine the burden and weight of trying to name the savior of the world? Like, what am I supposed to call this guy? Like, do we call him God? I don't know. That might be a power move. Like, that's bold if we just call him God. I think people might, you know, stone us. And so they didn't have to. So Gabriel, hey, you're going to have a son. And hey, don't worry about it. You can just name him Jesus. But what if Gabriel showed up and he said, hey, you're going to have a kid. He's going to be like the savior of the world. He's going to be God incarnate and go. And then the next 9 months, they're like, Joseph. Mary, what do we name the kid? And Joseph's like, I got it. It's Joseph Jr. for sure, right? Because if this is gonna be the savior of the world, I want him to carry my name for all of history, right? And Mary's like, don't be dumb, okay? We're not naming him Joseph Jr. So she shoots that down. And none of this is, I'm just kind of having fun here. Don't go look for that in the Bible. It's not in there. And so, okay, they're like, no, not Joseph. And then maybe they just start, you know, asking around, you know, what are some popular names of the time? Well, you know, maybe let's do like James or a John or a Peter, right? Let's do one of those. No, that's not unique enough for the savior of the world. We don't want to just give him what everyone else's name. Boring, right? And so, no, it's not gonna be that. Hey, they come up with this idea. What if we kind of trace it back through our history, the history of our people? Let's look at the 12 tribes and what was promised to them, you know, back in the Exodus. And let's name him after one of the 12 tribes. Let's go with the name Zebulon. That's a solid, that one's really, really good. And so they pick this name, and I think it's a good name, because if you look at what the meaning of Zebulon is, you ready? This is what it means. It means a gift from God, a sacrifice and a dwelling. Okay, Jesus was a gift from God. He sacrificed for us and he dwelled among us. Zebulon is it. And then you go, okay, so at the name of Zebulon, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We are saved by one name, and it's Zebulon. I don't know. This doesn't have as good of a ring to it as Jesus. And then you begin to think, man, what would songs be like if his name was Zebulon? There's a popular song called I Speak Jesus, okay? That's the name. Anybody heard of it? It's a really, really popular song. What if it was instead I Speak Zebulon? Okay, let's hear. I'm gonna sing this to you guys. I just wanna speak the name of Zebulon. It's gonna be country and really gritty. Over every heart and every mind, cause I know there is peace and there is presence. I speak Zebulon. Oh, I went really, that was really good. Okay, I don't think it works. Doesn't work. All right, that's too much. Let's not go with Zebulon. Let's just go with something simple. Let's name him Bob, right? At the name of Bob, all will be saved. Well, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Bob, right? And then you change the song to I Speak Bob, okay? Let's put that one up. Shout Bob from the mountains and Bob in the streets. Bob in the darkness over every enemy. Bob for my family. Okay, that line is really weird. To speak Bob for your family. I speak the holy name of Bob. Bob does not work. You're welcome. Every time you hear that song now, you will get to shout Bob from the mountains. And like Bob's are like, why are you calling my name? That's weird. Don't sing about me. Okay. End of the day, God named his son. And it's a wonderful name and it's a powerful name. It is the name of Jesus. Let me give you the etymology of this name really quick. Jesus, I'm gonna give you the Greek, I'm gonna give you the Hebrew and what it means. So, Iesus, that's fun, that's how you say it in the Greek, Iesus. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right. It's third service, I may have got it wrong. And then in the Hebrew, it's Yeshua, or you can also look up, if you wanna really dive into Jesus's name, Yehoshua. Jesus is a form of Joshua. There's a really cool connection back to Joshua and Exodus, and there's all these hyperlinks, so you can check that out for yourself. And here's what it means, salvation and deliverance by God. And really what this is declaring, Jesus equals Jehovah is salvation. Now, if you've been here and you heard me talking about the name Yahweh, Yahweh is Jehovah. And so what that means that Yahweh is salvation and also that Jesus is Yahweh. I'll get into that in a minute, but it says Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior of mankind and he's God incarnate. So let's look at those two things, Yeshua and Yahweh. In Philippians 2, Paul references the book of Isaiah. And in this reference, he takes what was said from Isaiah from God, and he takes what God declares and then puts Jesus' name over it. So let me read Isaiah to you. This is God speaking. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, truth has gone from my mouth, a word that will not be revoked, and every knee will bow to me. Every knee will bow to God, every knee will bow to Yahweh and every tongue will swear allegiance to me. And so then in Philippians, when Paul is referencing Isaiah, look what he does. And he says, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess the name Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it's just this powerful moment where we see the name Yahweh, which is I am, and Jesus taking on that form as well. So what is it? Yahweh God is now superimposed onto Yeshua or Yehoshua, Jesus, declaring that Jesus is God. Jesus is the great I am. He is God in human form. And it's a powerful declaration of this name. We fast forward to Acts, and Peter and John had just performed this miracle. And in this moment, they're being questioned. And Peter declares this statement, the truest statement about the gospel of which we preach. And he says this in Acts 7. They just healed a guy. They had Peter and John stand before them. And they asked this question, by what power or in what name have you done this? Isn't that interesting? They wanted to know the name because there's power in the name. There's power in this name. And they knew the name. They weren't willing to declare the name. They weren't willing to say the name. And Peter, then filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing here before you healthy. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. What's the name? His name is Jesus. Who brought healing? Jesus. Who brings salvation? Jesus. And it's a powerful declaration. And what's interesting is if you trace back and you look at Peter's life, and in Matthew 16, we find the first recognition of Jesus being the Messiah. And it was a guy named Simon who was a fisherman. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church and the forces of hell will not overpower it. And so in this moment, Simon fully recognizes and surrenders to the name of Jesus. He says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. You are who we waited for. You're going to bring salvation to this world. And in recognition of that name, Jesus says to him, Simon, you are now called Peter, and you will be the rock upon which I build my church. And the forces of hell will not stop it. And you know, and from that moment, you know, you get to Pentecost in Acts chapter 3, and who's there? It's Peter. And what is he doing? He's declaring the name of Jesus. And from that moment, the impact from that moment, from this recognition of Jesus' name and surrender of Jesus' name in Peter, you and I have been impacted. Because he went on to share the name of Jesus, and the church went out, and the Bible was given to us, and we got to learn and know and surrender and recognize the name of Jesus. And here's the thing, recognition and surrender to the name of Jesus changes everything. It changed everything for a guy named Simon who was just a fisherman. He changed his name and he changed his purpose. He went from a fisher to a fisher of men. He went from declaring his own name to declaring the name of Jesus. Jesus changed his name. Jesus changed his identity. Jesus changed his purpose. And he saved him. He saved him. He saved him from sin. He saved him from death. He saved him from the consequences of all that. But what he saved him for is so much more important. Because he saved him for a life that was meant to proclaim the name of Jesus. And he was to go on and build and start the church that the forces of hell will not overcome. And it's a powerful statement. And what I want you to see, and what I want you to understand and leave with is this. When Jesus came to save us, it wasn't just about what he saved us from. It was more about what he saved us for. Does this make sense? We know what we're all saved from, and we should. We're all saved from sin, from the consequences of sin and the suffering and the pain and the regret and the shame that sin brings. We're all saved from that. We're saved from eternal separation from God, and that is huge, and it's a big gift, and we should be thankful for that. But what's more important is what we are saved for. And it's not just a maternal thing. It's an earthly thing. When we profess the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, we are given a relationship with God for all of eternity. And yes, we have that to look forward to, but we don't just surrender and recognize the name of Jesus and then wait to receive the gift that he has for us. No, he has that for us right here and right now. We are saved and given a life to live for him in the here and now, because the name of Jesus changes who and what you and I live for. Not in eternity, here, today. He calls us to live for him. He calls us to proclaim his name. If you've ever had an encounter with Jesus, if you ever experienced Jesus, if you have recognized and surrendered to him as Lord and Savior of your life, that means your life should be changed forever. You have been given new name, new purpose, new identity in Jesus. You have been saved, yes, from sin and the consequences of sin, but you have also been saved for a life that is meant to be lived in him and for him, in the here, in the now. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I came to give you life abundantly, a full life, a purposeful life. He's not just talking about a life that you will get one day when you leave this place. Jesus came down. He took on human form. He lived the very life that you and I lived, and he did amazing and miraculous things by the Spirit. And when he left, he gave us the Spirit, and he says to us, go out into all the earth and declare my name. And so we're called to live for him in the here and now. What we're saved for is so powerful. I mean, think about this. What was your life for before Jesus? Who was your life for before Jesus? Like, I was just thinking about the direction of my life, the pursuits of my life, the motives of my life. All of that was for me and for my selfishness and for my sin. And all of it was a dead end. And literally, it was a dead end, because the wages of sin is death. And a life lived for sin and a life lived for self, not for Jesus, leads to death. But in the name of Jesus, we are saved, we are redeemed, we are reconciled by his resurrection. And we're reconciled and saved and redeemed into resurrection life to live for him. And ever since that day that I recognized his name and I surrendered to his name. Man, I've had the honor and privilege of living for his name and proclaiming his name in both word and in action and in him and for him. Guess what? My life gained meaning. My life gained purpose. It was no longer about me and my glory and my pursuits, but it was all about him and pointing people to his name and looking forward to the next life. But man, what he gives us, what he calls us to is for the here and now. We are saved to live a life that is to proclaim the name of Jesus. And Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, it provides us with the only way. He is the only way that we are able to step out of living for sin and step into living for him. And he made it easy. It's so easy. It's recognition and surrender to one name, Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What is the name of the Lord? It's Jesus. It's Yahshua. It's Yehoshua. It is Yahweh. His name is freedom. His name is peace. His name is purpose. His name is joy. His name is love. His name is perfection. His name is resurrection. His name is salvation. His name is Jesus, and it changes everything. It changes everything. For you, for me, for your kids, for your family, all of it. It changes everything. And I wonder today, have you recognized and surrendered to the name above all names? I think there are many who recognize it. Do you know even the demons recognize the name of Jesus and they shudder? It's not just about a recognition of the name. It's about a surrender to it. Surrendering fully who you are to who he is, to what he did, and to what he calls you to. I'm gonna ask that you guys would stand to your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes as we wrap up our time together. I said there's power in names. And I think for many of us, we could say, the enemy has many names for me. And the enemy calls me many things. Or the enemy brings up the things of my past, my bad decisions, my addictions. And he calls me those things and he tries to identify me by those things. So we have the enemy who calls us names. And then we have a world out there that comes at us and beats us down and tries to identify us in some way. And as if that's not enough, we begin to proclaim and declare things over our own life. And we call ourselves worthless. And we tell ourselves that we'll never amount to anything. We call ourselves screw ups. And so the enemy has a name for you. And the world has a name for you. And you have a name for you. But Jesus declares his name over you. And in that name, there is freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from sin. Where you experience hurt and pain and suffering and death, he brings life and peace and joy and victory. And so here's what I'll say to you today. It's a recognition and a surrender of the power of the name of Jesus, the name above all names. If at some point in time you have recognized and surrendered his name, will you just take a moment right now to thank him for all that he did for you and how he loved you? Do that right now. But at the same time, if there was a point in time where you recognized and surrendered, but since that time, you feel like you're beginning to believe the enemy's name for you and what the world calls you and what you declare over yourself, can I encourage you today to be reminded of the power of the name of Jesus over your circumstance, over your situation, over your addiction, over your sin? He has power to, just overcome whatever you're dealing with. You are not identified by your sin. You are not identified by your past. When you surrender and recognize Jesus in him, you gain the identity of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Be reminded of that today. And maybe today you just need to say Jesus again. Jesus, call his name, Jesus, over your relationship with your spouse. Jesus, over the issues you're dealing with your children. Jesus, over your financial problems. Jesus, over your addiction. Speak his name, because the Bible tells us that there is power in it. At his name, demons shudder and darkness flees. So if you're dealing with something, speak his name over it. Right here and right now, Jesus. Now, if you're here today and you've never fully surrendered your life to his name, and you've continued to deal with hurt, and you've continued to deal with pain, and you continue to deal with shame in your life, you've tried all that you know to do in your wisdom and in your power. If you're looking for freedom from all of that, all you have to do is surrender to the name of Jesus. Just right where you're at, just say, Jesus. Jesus, I recognize that you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you came down to this earth and went through everything that I go through, and you overcame. Jesus, I fully believe that you took my place on the cross and died for my sins. Jesus, I believe that 3 days later you rose again, and you defeated sin, and you defeated death and any claims that they had on my life. And in your name, Jesus, I have resurrection life. I am brought to new life. Declare Jesus's name today. Surrender to Jesus's name today. Enter into a life that is abundant, that is full, that is purposeful today by declaring his name. God, thank you for your son, for your providence, for your love. Thank you for giving us a new name and a new identity in the name of Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.